not a lot. I've had a decent last couple days. So I'm hoping, I'm praying that that's what it is. That's all I can do. Yes, yeah, that's a big conflict. Yep.
Thank you.
The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to gather in His house. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him this morning. Amen. Thank you, Bert, for our beautiful prelude this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning. He has blessed us with another beautiful weekend, another beautiful day to gather in this house in the season of Thanksgiving. I know our opening prelude has set the tone for our worship this morning, and I hope that you will be touched by how all the wonderful ways that He has blessed us this day and every single day. If you are a first-time guest with us, thank you for joining us. Take a moment to fill out a visitor's card and place it in the offering plate as you leave following the worship service today. If you're watching us online, thank you for joining us via Facebook Live. If you're a first-time guest watching us on Facebook Live this morning, thank you for joining us online. Send me an email this week. Let me catch up with you this week and just connect with you and welcome you to First Baptist Church of Elon. If you are watching us online, I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin. Use that as a resource for today's worship service. Also for the ministries we have coming up in the life of our church. For those in our sanctuary this morning, you will notice we have lots of ministry opportunities coming up in the life of our church. I'm going to point out quite a few of those this morning. This afternoon at 4 p.m., our handbell choir will be practicing in preparation for our Christmas cantata. So, handbell choir members, just a reminder, 4 p.m. this afternoon, and y'all are meeting down here, right? In the choir room. So, 4 p.m. in the choir room. Following that, at 5 p.m., we'll be having our adult Bible study, Holy Roar. This will be our fourth and final session as we continue to look at the Hebrew words for praise that are found in the book of Psalms. Tonight, we'll be looking at the expectation of praise. So you can join me in person or online for that study. Children and youth will also meet tonight at 5 p.m. and 5:30 p.m., respectfully. This week, Tuesday, Golden Years. I'm sorry, I've got a frog in my throat. Apologize about that. Golden Years Ministry, Tuesday afternoon, 1:45 p.m. If you would like to help with that ministry, you can speak to Sandy French this morning. She kind of heads up that group. They have a wonderful time of ministry, so talk to Sandy if you'd like to go and help with that ministry on Tuesday afternoon. Ministry team leaders, reminder about a couple things. The budget request forms are due back to the church office today. You can hand those to one of our stewardship team members. You can hand that to a staff member, or you can hand that
to one of, or just drop it by the church office this morning as you leave this morning. But we need those forms in as we put together our 2024 budget. Also, you will notice all church members that our December newsletter is not quite out yet. You should be receiving that tomorrow or on Tuesday. So please make special note of all the things coming up in the life of our church during the month of December. One of those things is a Fun and Fellowship trip to Bear Creek that's coming up in December. There were sign-up sheets around the church today for that trip coming up, but there's also a trip that's coming up before that in November. And if you want to go to that Fun and Fellowship trip, which is the trip to the matinee show to the Rudy Theater in Selma, that's on Tuesday, November 28th. You need to sign up today. Gay needs to know how many people would like to go on that trip. It's a wonderful show. We went years and years ago, I think it was, for with our senior adults. It's a wonderful show, but if you want to go on that trip, you need to sign up today for the Rudy Theater trip. So make sure you get your name on the list today for that. A couple mission reminders. First off, reminder about Salvation Army. We are doing the Angel Tree Ministry, our the Forgotten Angel Ministry, and the gift cards for our senior adults. Many of those opportunities are listed in your bulletin this morning. I will tell you, we still have two angels hanging on the tree this morning. So if you prayerfully consider adopting one of those angels, please stop by and pick one of those angels off the tree and write your name on the clipboard that's out there on the table this morning. All those items are due back on Sunday, December 3rd. Another mission reminder, Tuesday is the deadline to bring items in for the goodie bags for the Elon Reading Day. We're putting goodie bags together for the Elon Cheer Squad. Tuesday's the deadline for that. Lots of items have already come in, but there's always room for a few more. So if you want to drop by items, drop them off by Tuesday. That will be the last day the church office is open this week. We'll be open on Monday and Tuesday, but we will not be open on Wednesday and Thursday. So if you're going to bring items by, please bring them by on Tuesday. Kramer wanted me to remind everybody there's still Brunswick stew for sale. It's still upstairs. It goes wonderful during Thanksgiving, too. You may like a little bit of turkey. Some people like Brunswick stew. You never know. Start a new tradition. You can buy it today, $9 a quart. Talk to Kramer today if you would like some Brunswick stew. Today, as you leave this morning, Sally Farnham will be sitting at the table outside. If you'd like to order one of the replicas of First Baptist Church of Elon, as we continue to celebrate 75 years in ministry, those wooden replicas will be available starting in December. Next Sunday is the deadline to order one of those wooden replicas. They're $20 each. You do not have to have your money today, but the orders have to be placed by next Sunday. So stop by the table if you want to order those as well. And then last but not least, next Sunday morning, immediately following the worship service, and this is something we started last year, and it was a lot of fun. It's a wonderful time. Next Sunday after worship, we're going to have lunch upstairs for anybody who would like to stay, and then we're going to deck the halls. We're going to celebrate and decorate the church building in preparation for Advent. We'll put the Chrismon tree up, hang the wreaths around the church building, decorate everything that we can possibly decorate, and the more hands, the better. It's always a lot of fun, and the more help that can stay, the better time that we have, the more fellowship time we have, and we're going to stay right after worship service next Sunday. Need to do this. So if you'd like to, you don't have to sign up. You just have to stay next Sunday. So bring, if you want to change clothes, you're more than welcome to. But it's a great time of fun. Next Sunday, immediately following worship service, I hope you'll stay and help us deck the halls immediately following worship next Sunday morning. We gather here today to lift praise to Him, the one who deserves it all. Let us worship Him this morning.
Our opening hymn this morning is "We Have Come Into His House." Let's sing and worship Him.
We have come into His house.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 133. Listen to these words. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. When we gather together in worship, when we gather together in this season of thanksgiving, we are united through him. That's why we're here this morning. Let us go to him in prayer this day. Heavenly Father, how very good and pleasant it is to be drawn together by you as brothers and sisters in Christ on this day of worship. Pour your empowering and spirit upon us that the thanksgiving message we hear proclaim, that our songs and scriptures speak about, may become more than words simply upon a page. Help us this hour to listen for and lean toward your voice, which speaks beyond the words that we utter. Move us past our doubts that we might step forward with a faith that does not end when we leave this place today. Nudge us to touch areas of our lives that need to be touched, so that we might then recognize that no door is so heavy that it can lock you out. May your thanksgiving message be proclaimed not just this Sunday, but all year long. This we pray in the name of the one for whom we give thanks, Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is We Gather Together, and let's sing all three stanzas.
This Tuesday, November 21st, we are blessed with the opportunity to gather with our brothers and sisters in Christ from our fellow Elon churches for our community Thanksgiving service. This year, the service will be held at 7 p.m. at Elon Community Church. As a part of this service, we'll be collecting both canned food items and a monetary offering that will go to support the Elon First Baptist Church's monetary food pantry ministry. This is something they do throughout the year. They give away quite a bit of food on a weekly basis. If you may have seen, it's circulated throughout the town of Elon information. They gave quite a few Thanksgiving dinners away yesterday as part of this ministry. But worship congregants are welcome to bring either canned food items or a monetary offering to help support their ministry. The Elon Community Church Choir will be singing as a part of this service. They've also extended an invitation to any additional choir members from the community to come and sing. So you're welcome to do that. They'll be practicing the special that they'll be singing at 6:15 p.m. On Tuesday evening prior to the service at 7 p.m. I am blessed to be able to bring the Thanksgiving sermon this year, so I hope to see many of your faces this Tuesday night. I know you get to hear me on Sunday morning. Maybe I preach a little bit different on Tuesday night. You never know. I joked with our prayer group this morning. They said, well, does that mean you're going to keep it short? And I said, well, if I see lots of your faces out there, I'll keep it shorter. I said, no, I won't do that. But I encourage you. It's a great, wonderful opportunity as a community to come together. It is a wonderful time of celebrating Thanksgiving with our Elon Community Churches. And this year, following the worship service, we are returning back to having a time of fellowship. There'll be a time of fellowship in their Family Life Center. So I hope you'll come and stay following the worship time and enjoy a time of fellowship around the table. So please come out and join us during this time of community worship this coming Tuesday at 7 p.m. at Elon Community Church. At this time, I'll call on Deacon Phil Thompson for our offertory prayer.
Let's all pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come today to thank you and praise you, we're only here for you. You are the center of our attention, and we want to be mindful of that, not only this week of Thanksgiving, but all throughout the year, to have an attitude of gratitude in all things, in all circumstances. As we present the offerings and tithes today, Lord, we pray that we be used to further your kingdom, and Lord, help us to always be thankful for our blessings and your mercy and grace. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Say,
Would you pray with me? Faithful God, we confess that we do not give you the attention, and we do not give attention to the things that are of you. We listen to rumors and gossip instead of what is true and honorable. We do not hold fast to justice. We do not train our hearts on what is pure and pleasing to you. In our words and our deeds, we stray from that what is commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. We do not attend to all we have received and learned of your good news, and so we do not live in peace with you or with our neighbors. So in this moment of silence today, hear our silent prayers of forgiveness. Forgive us, we pray. Free us to live as your grateful people. Thank you for hearing our prayers this day. Thank you for your forgiveness. And all God's people said, Amen. Again, let me say good morning. Thank you for joining us during this season of Thanksgiving. And Gay, let me say, the music was wonderful today. Choir, excellent job. And it is truly a blessing. And Gay and I were just talking about this before we walked into worship. It's wonderful to look up at the choir loft. Every chair was filled. Every chair. We pulled up chairs. We've got, and Brad Smith said, every chair is full, but we have more chairs, so if anybody else wants to join in, we'll pull the chairs out from the back. But that was a blessing to see, and excellent job. Wow. The special music set the tone for today's worship and my sermon today, so great job. This morning, I am continuing our sermon series, Reclaiming Thanksgiving. As a brief recap, my challenge to each of us is not to overlook this important holiday, this season, as the world tries to rush from Halloween into the Christmas season. The season of Thanksgiving is important for our spiritual walk with the Lord. And I encourage each of you that if we listened during this time, during this entire month, that my guarantee was that by the end of this, you will see that Thanksgiving is a year-long thing. It's not just a one-day thing. It's not just a couple weeks thing. It's not just a month thing. It's a year-long thing. 2 weeks ago, we dove into the how of reclaiming Thanksgiving by looking at the story of Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus. We saw the importance of the power of appreciation and how this appreciation transforms into an attitude of gratitude. Last week, we took our next step as we answered the what portion of reclaiming Thanksgiving as we looked at Psalm 118. So what is it about this reclaiming Thanksgiving? What does it create? And Psalm 118 reminds us that this creates a season of praise because of God's mighty works and His enduring love. So this morning we answer the next question of reclaiming Thanksgiving. The next question about reclaiming Thanksgiving, and it may be probably the most important question, because if we don't have an answer to this question, we won't worry about the others at all. It's the why question. Why does it matter that we should want to reclaim Thanksgiving? If we don't have a reason to reclaim it at all, forget the other questions. We don't need to worry about it. So why? Why does it matter? And the answer, I think, is found in some very simple Thanksgiving truths. As I've reflected on why Thanksgiving has gotten overlooked in society, there may be some simple, very simple reasons. For one, there are no real gifts at Thanksgiving. Some see turkey as a gift. I really don't see turkey as a gift. You can buy turkey all year long. If you notice, they jack up the prices on turkey at Thanksgiving, and every other time of the year, you can buy it for a lot cheaper. Just trust me on that. See what I mean in December or January. I promise you it's cheaper. Unlike Christmas, there has a tree full of gifts, or Easter that has a basket full of gifts, Thanksgiving doesn't have any real gifts. There's nothing there. Another is that Thanksgiving promotes what some might describe as just socially normal or socially acceptable behavior. I remember my third grade teacher, whose name was Miss Durham, by the way, no relation to me at all. She lived around the corner to my house, though, about four houses around the corner. Miss Durham was my third grade teacher, who just recently passed away, actually, just a couple weeks ago. Wonderful lady. She had a huge Thanksgiving feast for our third grade class the day right before Thanksgiving got out for our Thanksgiving break. We all dressed up in our finest clothes for this meal, but before we could partake in the best lunch meal we had all year long on Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving, we had to share something that we were thankful for. Now, at Thanksgiving, we're not dressed up as ghouls or ghosts. We're not putting on a large piece of foliage in the middle of our living space. We're not sticking our heads under beds and couch cushions or behind bookshelves looking for plastic eggs. At Thanksgiving, we are sitting around a table eating similar to many other nights during the year. It's just normal social behavior. So what's so special about Thanksgiving? They even have fireworks on the 4th of July. Yeah, you know, actually, a couple weeks ago at Veterans Day, when we celebrated Veterans Day, in my neighborhood, I actually heard fireworks at Veterans Day. See, even Veterans Day gets fireworks, but not Thanksgiving. There's nothing special about Thanksgiving. We have Halloween, we have Christmas, we have Easter, we have the 4th of July, and sandwiched in there is Thanksgiving, that awkward in-between holiday. Could it be that in our culture, we're just not so interested in giving thanks? We're just not. That's when we come to the question, why? Why does it matter? We cannot come up, or we choose not to come up, with a good response to that answer, to answer that question, why? But our scripture passage today answers our question. It sheds some light on that question, why? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 100 this morning. The words will be displayed on the worship screens behind me. As you turn, I will share with you, again, we've been talking about praise on Sunday nights, looking at the book of Psalms and the Hebrew words. There's two Hebrew words for praise that are found in Psalm 100. The first word that's found there is the word tehillah, T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H. And it's actually a Hebrew word that we talked about this past Sunday night. And this Hebrew word means a spontaneous song of praise. It's a word that just kind of bubbles up in your soul. It's like when you're going through the day and all of a sudden you start humming a song and you don't know really where it came from. You start singing some words and you don't really know where it came. It just comes up from your soul. It's God creating a song inside of you. That's what the tehillah praise song is. And that's one of the words we'll see here today. But it's the second Hebrew word of praise that's in this psalm. That's what I'm going to focus on. The second Hebrew word for praise in Psalm 100 is the word todah, T-O-W-D-A-H. And that Hebrew definition for praise is an expectant praise. It's a thanksgiving of praise of things not yet received. It's something that we're praising God for that we haven't received yet, but we know it's coming. This is the why. Because sometimes we have to give thanks to God even though the Thanksgiving hasn't come yet. We give thanks to God in expectation of something that is coming. I hope when you come to worship every Sunday morning, you bring a todah to worship. You bring an expectation of worship. You bring something coming in those doors expecting God to speak to you. That's todah. That's the todah of worship. And that's what answers our question this morning. Psalm 100 is an expectation of worship. And that's what Thanksgiving is all about. Psalm 100 was originally written for the people of Israel. God had basically said to the Israelites, when you come into the promised land, and when you settle down in your homes, in your warm homes, and everything gets settled, and when you have plenty to eat, don't forget me. Don't forget me. That's the todah. You're going to expect all these blessings, but don't forget me. I led you out of the wilderness. I brought you into a land flowing with milk and honey. Don't forget me. Lift praise for all the things I'm going to bring to you. Israel needed a lot of reminders. They did. But guess what? You and I do too. Because we can go through our day and think, well, God, where have you been all day? I mean, I've had a day that I would like to forget. Where have you been? But ta-da, God's been there. That's the Hebrew kicking in there. Ta-da. I hope you remember that this week. God had us in mind when Psalm 100 was written, because it was written for us as well. Listen to these words. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His names, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The first thing I want you to notice this morning is to whom the psalm is addressed. The first verse says that it is addressed to all the earth, and the last verse says that it includes all generations. It is important for us physically, psychologically, and spiritually to give thanks. And this is why this psalm, Psalm 100, applies to every generation that has ever lived. It applies to the Israelites. It applies to our generation. It applies to every generation that comes after us. That's why Psalm 100 answers the question, why, for anybody and everybody who has walked the face of this earth. So what does Psalm 100 say? What are the truths that we can find here of the reason why we should reclaim Thanksgiving? And the first truth is this. There is something about giving thanks to God which breaks down barriers between people. Webster's Dictionary defines the word thanksgiving as a formal public expression of thanks to God. Now let me repeat that again. A formal public expression of thanks to God. Now the key word, I think, this is what I think it is anyway, is the word public. Public. Thanksgiving is something that we need and that everyone needs. When one person is willing to give thanks, others are willing to follow suit. Let's jump back into my third grade class for a second. Now, one of the responsibilities on that Thanksgiving meal day is nobody could touch their food before everybody had voiced something that they were thankful for. We could not eat until everybody had said something that they were thankful for. Now, my third grade memory did not remember what many people thanked themselves for. I'm sure some people said, oh, I'm thankful for my pet dog. I'm thankful for my mom and my dad. I'm thankful for the turkey that's sitting in front of me that's getting cold as I'm waiting for everybody else to thank them for their food. I guarantee that some of the things that third graders said. I don't remember what was said, but I do vividly remember this. Whoever started it, whoever said the very first thing, all of a sudden, popcorn started happening. Everybody started saying it. Whoever started it, and I don't remember who it was not me, but whoever started it, everybody else was willing to chime in then. Once the first Thanksgiving happened, everybody wanted to chime in. And I am fully aware that there were some students who gave more than one word Thanksgiving. They would think about this, and then a couple minutes later, they were thinking about something else. I'm sure I did the same thing too. I probably thanked them for my mom and dad. I probably thanked them. I didn't thank them for my brother. I guarantee. In third grade, I guarantee I did not thank them for Scott. We fought like cats and dogs at that time in my life. So, but I guarantee we thanked them for lots and lots of different things. Once somebody breaks the ice in Thanksgiving, everybody floods in. That's what Thanksgiving does. Thanksgiving is contagious. It breaks down barriers. As a matter of fact, a growing body of research has tied an attitude of gratitude with a number of positive emotional and health benefits. The Wall Street Journal summarizes the research like this. Adults who frequently feel grateful and give thanks have more energy, more optimism, more social connections, and more happiness than those who do not. They are less likely to be depressed, envious, greedy, or to become addicts. They earn more money, they sleep more soundly, they exercise more regularly, and have greater resistance to viral infections. The articles end with this simple statement, which I thought was pretty funny. The key to benefiting from an attitude of gratitude is to not leave it on the Thanksgiving table. Don't leave it on the table. Don't leave it on Thursday. Psalm 100 is a hymn that was sung while entering the temple. And was probably done in connection with a Thanksgiving ceremony. Just look at what it emphasizes. In verse 1, we find the name of the Lord. In verse 2, we find the name of the Lord. In verse 3, guess what we find? The name of the Lord. In verse 4, it says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. In verse 5, we are told, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. I think we heard that last week when I preached the sermon. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The basis for our thanksgiving is the Lord. When we give Him thanks, people are drawn together. Alex Haley, the author of the book Roots and the TV series Roots, had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall. It was a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. A reporter once asked him one day, Dr. Haley, why is that there? Haley answered, every time I write something significant, every time I read my own words and think they are wonderful, and I begin to feel proud of myself, I look at the turtle on top of that fence post and remember that he did not get there on his own. He had help. Verse 3 reminds us, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. I preached about sheep not too long ago too, didn't I? It's amazing how everything ties together. When we give thanks to God, His sheep are brought together. The barriers are pushed away. The second truth we can find in Psalm 100, the second Thanksgiving truth is this. Giving thanks to God puts everything else into perspective. We give thanks to God for everything that we receive, whether it be good or bad. Other things just seem to fall into place. Possessions lose their luster. Problems do not seem so big. In order to live life to the fullest, as God intends for us to do every single day, we must be intentional about giving thanks to God in all things. But sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes it is hard to be thankful, especially if we've got in the habit of complaining. Now, a popular comedian did a routine that started out with this simple line: everything is amazing right now, but nobody's happy. It received over 4 million views on YouTube in the first week that it came out. The comedian must have struck a chord with some people. The comedian goes on to make fun at ingratitude and impatience. He says, in my lifetime, the changes in this world would have been incredible. We live in this amazing, amazing world, and it's wasted on a generation of spoiled people. He goes on to say, I was on an airplane, and there was high-speed internet on this airplane. And I'm sitting on the plane, and they say, open up your laptop, and you can go on the internet. And he said, it was incredible. It's fast. It was amazing. And then, over the intercom, it breaks down. And they say, we apologize, but the internet is no longer working. And the guy next to me says, oh, great, that stinks. Like, how quickly the world owes him something that he knew only existed 10 seconds before that. And his world's falling apart. The comedian continues. People say, it's been the worst day of my life. First off, I was on an airplane. He says, well, tell me more. First off, we didn't board for 20 minutes to get on the plane. Then when we got on the plane, they made us sit on the runway for 45 more minutes. And he said, I'm listening. Keep going. And then he said this. Oh, really? What happened next? Did you fly in the air? Oh, did you partake in the miracle of what is called human flight? Everybody on every plane should be constantly screaming, wow, we are flying. We are literally sitting in a chair in the sky. Notice how our perspective changes from sitting in an hour to being realized that we're flying in the sky. Giving thanks to God helps us put things into perspective in life. The Hebrew people grumbled constantly during their 40-year wilderness journey after Moses led them out of slavery in Egypt. Their constant complaining is one of the main reasons they had such an awful time getting into the Promised Land. As a matter of fact, the complainers never made it into the Promised Land at all. There were plenty of complainers that followed Jesus around as well. In John chapter 6, just a few hours after Jesus fed the 5,000, people came back to Jesus wanting more. Instead of expressing humble gratitude for yesterday's gift of bread and fish, they confronted him with an attitude of entitlement with words such as, well, Moses gave manna to our ancestors. The least that you could do is give us another meal. How soon we forget. Have you ever found yourself busy complaining and demanding when instead we should be giving thanks out of appreciation for what God has blessed us with? Let me put it another way. Does complaining and demanding put things into perspective? Actually, it doesn't. Or does it just cloud our vision from what God would want us to see in the first place? The biblical antidote for complaining is giving thanks. And that finally brings us to our third point, our third truth from Psalm 100. Giving thanks to God ultimately brings us joy. When we give thanks to God and it becomes a regular part of our daily walk with Him, all of a sudden, our life will be filled with an ever-flowing joy. And I'm not talking about just momentary joy. I'm talking about a joy that we don't understand where it comes from, how it just exists. It just bubbles and it exists. In a few days, many of us will be stuffing ourselves with turkey. That may provide you some temporary joy, but guess what most of us will be doing about an hour later? Sleeping, right? Amen? Or watching football and then sleeping. Amen? Amen. That's right. That's just temporary joy. But I'm talking about everlasting joy. Jesus is the bread of heaven, sent from heaven to satisfy the longings of the human soul. We start stuffing ourselves with the bread of life on a daily basis by giving thanks to Him for all of His blessings. The joy will start overflowing into all around us, every part of our lives. It will overflow into our prayer time. It will overflow into our daily Bible study. It will overflow into our service to our neighbors and our family and our friends and our stranger. It will overflow into our worship time. It will overflow into your work time. It will overflow into all that fun time you want to do with your extracurricular activities. It will overflow into everything. And the evidence of this will be the increasing joy that is present in your daily life. It will be there. You'll feel it, and others will see it. And who knows how God will use it to bring joy to others. In closing this morning, the why of reclaiming Thanksgiving is very simple. Giving thanks breaks down barriers between people and draws people together. Giving thanks to God helps put things into our lives into perspective, helping us to focus on what is truly important. Giving thanks to God brings joy to our lives and the lives of those around us. Who wouldn't want to have this in our life, this Thanksgiving season? Who wouldn't want to have this in their lives right now, every single day? Not just this Thursday, not just Friday, not just during the month of November, but every single day. I know I do, but the choice is up to you. It's not for me to decide. Let's pray. Father, simple truth from Psalm 100 that has spoken to generation after generation after generation that still speaks to our souls today. Thank you for the blessings that you give us every single day. And as we return thanks to you, we can be amazed at how it can influence and affect our lives. The why of reclaiming Thanksgiving is because of you and what you've done for each one of us. Father, we accept that challenge. We take that challenge and know that it's going to make a difference in our lives. It's the tada of praise. It's the tada, the expectant change in our lives. May we take that expectant change with us this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning, maybe today is the first time you've recognized that that gift given through Jesus Christ our Lord is the joy that you've been looking for and searching for. I'll be down front and here to talk with you about what it means to turn your life over to Him. Maybe that you're looking for a church family that has been, that just looks to find the opportunities to make a difference, to spread that joy, not just in these walls, but outside of the community's walls. First Baptist Elon could be that home for you. Let me talk to you about what it means to be a part of this family here at First Baptist. Or maybe today, maybe you've been struggling. Maybe you've been struggling with that praise. Maybe you've been struggling with the why part of it. The altar is open to pray. I'm open to pray with you as well. Whatever decision you need to make today, make it today. May we expect God to make a difference in our life as we lift praise to Him. Let's stand and sing our closing song this morning.
When the Lord reveals you are dead,
this place today. Go out expecting God to make a difference in your life. You will be amazed at what joy you can take with you. Know that God's making a difference. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving this week on Thursday, if I don't see you before, but I hope I'll see you on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at Elon Community Church. Go in peace.